What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Polititeen. If you are new here, Polititeen is a podcast that hopes to spark political conversation in our youth by talking about current politics with people that are currently politically active. With that being said, thank you for tuning in to today's episode, and as always, happy listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Polititeen. My name is Damien Gowan, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Varun.
Hey, guys. My name is Varun Kadathala. I am the co-host of the Polititeen podcast, where we strive to have political conversation with many leaders in our community to kind of, you know, make young minds more politically active and educated. Now, we have a very special guest with us today. His name is Larry Lawton. He's been an inspiration to both myself and Damien for so long in our lives, inspired what we're doing here at Polititeen. And we just want him to talk about his journey and his role in life, his journey to where he is in life. So, Larry, if you'd like to introduce yourself to our viewers.
How you doing, everybody? Glad to be here at Polititeen. I'm with two young, inspiring young men. And I was the biggest jewel robber in the United States. I robbed between $15 and $18 million. Went to prison for it. I did four 12-year sentences. Was strapped down, naked, beaten, and tortured in prison. And then when I got out, I started a company called the Reality Check Program. And the Reality Check Program works with young people and organizations so they don't make the choices I made to go to prison. I was involved in organized crime, robbed 15 to 18 million. And now I'm a YouTube guy who actually tries to bring my message to young people in a different way. I tell my story, and I also have inspirational messages in all my videos for young people to keep doing what they do, make good choices, don't make the mistakes I made, and move on in life and have a good time. That's what life should be about.
Yeah, we agree with you 1,000%. And me and Varun were actually talking before we shot you with the call, and we were talking about how it's very interesting the way that life can take you down different paths, and it's crazy because we were talking about the golf tournament that you host, or the golf event that you host with the judges and with the teenagers, to kind of show them that these people are actually people too. And how we also try to do that here on the podcast. We were explaining that to you beforehand with in a different sense with politicians and stuff. And we were talking about how it's very interesting. I had an event a couple weeks ago where my dad's car got stolen. And my dad's car got stolen by a buddy that I used to go to school with. And we're the same age. We're the same, we went to the same school. We grew up in the same community. But it's very interesting how different circumstances can really shape you out. And I'm over here, doing a podcast trying to inform people about politics and about how they can make the correct life choices, who are my peers. And he's unfortunately in his house with an ankle bracelet on right now.
Well, obviously I try to emphasize to young people, and the choices you make today will affect the rest of your life. But I also like to show that no matter what you did wrong, your life's not over. You can change. And I tell young people, listen, you're 20 and you're going to get to be 20 and you're going to think you know it all. And then you're going to hit 30 and look back and say, I didn't know anything at 20. When you hit 40, you look back and say, man, I still didn't know anything at 30. When you hit 50, you're going to say, man, am I ever going to learn anything? I'm on 60 and I'm learning every day. And I think it's great. I think older people, the reason I have such high success, and I have the number one program in the United States helping young people.
Wow.
Not by my numbers. It was quantified by a college. I gave them the paperwork and the data came in, and we have a 90% success rate of keeping kids out of jail, 70% better attitudes, 43% better school grades, and 31% better school attendance. And as I tell people, my program was started because of my experience. And I try to give people experiences, but I don't change them. People ask me, you got such a great success rate changing. I said, I don't change them. They change themselves. I give them the knowledge. I give them the wisdom. And I give them a path to do it and show that. Listen, a judge friend of mine, very good judge, he says to me, Larry, he goes, your program's so good. But you know what it really shows people? He goes, that no matter what, even when you make those mistakes, and everybody does, I don't care who you guys are, everybody makes
mistakes.
Yeah.
When they're done with their mistakes, they could become a better person for it, and it won't define them. And I went, the quick story, I was with a police chief, and he says to me, man, you know, some of these kids you got to give up on. And I looked at him, are you crazy? I said, I don't give up on young people. He goes, well, some of them we can't spend the money. I left his vehicle, literally told him to stop the vehicle. I'm getting out. And after I left the vehicle, I left and I thought about it a lot. And I was glad I did it. It hurt me financially. A lot of things hurt me because I'm very, as you guys know, I tell it like it is. I'm not going to change that. I made that my mantra. Tell it like it is. I went to prison for not telling and my word something. So what happened with this police chief is I looked at another man. I said, listen, I went to prison at 34 years old. I got out of prison at 46 years old. And it's hard pressed to find some guys who were as bad as I was. And I didn't kill people, but as you read my book, I was a pretty wild guy.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I say, if I can change, anybody can change. And I'm not going to give up on people. Do they need to be held accountable? Absolutely. People need to be held accountable for whatever they do. And that goes for business. That goes for social media. That goes for whatever. Listen, when I say something on social media, if I make a mistake, I admit it. If I did not make a mistake, and I will back it up and I will debate you. And if you're good enough to change my mind, change it. I have no problem having a debate with somebody and them changing my mind because I'm open-minded to that. And I believe in open-minded in all things in life. I don't believe people should judge people. And that really kind of pisses me off. I've been to environments where saw the people who really didn't have anything going for them, and people judge them, whether it's for their economic situation, whether it's for their race or their sexuality. And it's really sad because that's such a burden. And I try to lift those people, and I get mail. You can imagine how much mail I get with people with stuff like that. And my always message is be who you are. You know, you have to be happy with yourself in life first before you can make anybody else happy.
Yeah.
So it's not being selfish. It's not being selfish. You have to be happy. You have to be truly content, look in a mirror, whatever that is. Don't let people define who you are. And it starts at a young age. And I think it's really important that shows like yours are about. I hope you're starting a story that I hope blows up. And then when you're not a teen anymore and you're running another podcast or whatever you're doing, somebody else gets into your footsteps. And you know, can have this platform for young people to come to and be open and be be non-judgmental, have your own political views, whatever they are. Debate people like me. I love to debate young people because they've changed my mind on many things. And people ask me all the time, "Hey, man, Larry, how do you know so much about kids? Whether it's from gangs to what texting codes and everything?" I said, "You know why they tell me? Because I listen to them."
Yeah.
A lot of older people just want it my way. You know, I was in I was in a meeting up in Washington, D.C. And I don't know if your audience knows, I'm the only ex-con in the United States who's an honorary police officer. Only one in the whole country.
Wow. For our listeners, he just showed us his badge.
He just showed us his badge.
And I'm not a cop lover, but I'm also the only ex-con recognized on the floor of the United States Congress.
Wow.
And as I tell young people, and I tell people all over, I was at a meeting in Washington, and some people were really giving young people, oh, they don't know this. I got up, I took my phone, I stood up, and I'm a pretty big guy. I get up, and they all look at me. I take my phone, I slam it down on the counter, and everybody gets quiet. I said, who in this room can program their phone quicker than their 15-year-old kid? At the time, my daughter was 15. She's 25 now, so it's 10 years ago. And somebody looked at me. I said, who in this room could program this phone quicker than their kid? Nobody said anything. I said, none of us. I said, when I want something done on my phone, at the time, I give it to my daughter, and she'd fix it.
Right.
What does she do? My daughter takes the phone. She starts moving it, reboots it, playing it again, reboots it, play it again, reboots it. Here, Daddy, it's done. How does Larry do it? Larry gets the phone. He looks at the book. He goes this way. Okay. Oh, that's not working. Let me go on the computer, maybe Google something. And all it shows is that young people learn a different way and sometimes a better way, sometimes a faster way. And until older people my age understand that, and I do, but older people I deal with, that we can take the knowledge. The only thing I have over young people like yourself is experience. Mm-hmm. Right now you're in school. I'm a history. I think one of you guys are history buffs.
Both of us.
We're both history buffs.
I'm a presidential history buff. Can tell you who was killed in office, who this, all that.
Yeah.
I'm all of that. I love history, geography. But there, let's take a subject like science, you know, or I'm good at math. I was a bookie. But you take science or something. You guys know more about science than me. You're in school. You're doing it right now. And I look at that and I say, the only thing I have over you, young man right here, is experience. And in my field, experience of a place you don't want to go, and that's prison and making the bad choices. And I never want you to have to experience that. I want you to take my experience and learn from it so you don't have to go through the situations I went. As you know, I was strapped down naked, beaten, a guard took his penis out and peed on my face.
Yeah.
And I get goosebumps. I mean, but...
Yeah, we do as well.
It's something that happened to me that is happening, sadly, too much in this country. We have one of the worst prison systems in the free world. Mm-hmm. I mean, total.
Yeah.
We have more incarceration rate than any other country in the world. Any other country.
Yeah.
That's not a great title to hold. So, you know, we are in a country that a lot can be done. I love the country, of course.
Yeah.
But we can fix it. We can make it better. And until we... you know, stop getting at us. We the greatest. Yeah, we're great, but you know, there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that, then we get complacent and look at we're 17th in education around the world. 17th.
Yeah.
Think of that. We're losing talent. We're losing people, and we're not getting other people to come to this country to give us their talent and then stay here. We have such great things. People don't get it. And you guys are history. And if you look geographically, we are the best geographically placed country in the world. And that's just God's will. We have the Atlantic Ocean. We have a Pacific Ocean. We have mountains. We have deserts. We have hot. We have cold. We have the Gulf. We only have two borders to really protect anything, which is, you know, of course, Canada or Mexico. And when you look at that, you really got to say, wow. You know, people didn't notice in Cold War, and you guys will notice from history, we beat them because we could have starved them out. They couldn't grow enough grain to feed their people, and they needed to import grain so we could stop the shipping lanes and we could literally starve the country out. Now, with all of that, that makes us such a beautiful country, such a great country to be at, and then our ideals. But listen, there's some stuff here that's wrong in the past, and we can get into that. We took this from Native Americans, so, you know, don't stand on that all high mighty horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we took this country from people in a brutal way, and that's not right. It is what it is. I'm going to go back and change it now. And, you know, people say, this document is from God. Well, no, it's not. You know, the Bill of Rights are not from God. God didn't want slavery. You know, God wasn't in the Constitution. We can go on and on. But I believe in the country, doing the fair ways. But we're losing that. We're losing a lot of our rights. As a guy who fights against criminal justice, injustices in prison reform, and, you know, there's so much there. I can go on. We can have a 10-hour show if you want. But
We love that.
It really, I wish I had the time.
Yeah.
But it really does kind of make me think, hey, listen, let's tell it like it is. And that's what I see you guys doing. I actually listen to some of your shows.
Thank you.
And I like that you're bringing the people and getting different kind of point of views out. And that's good. Whatever they are. Always go into an open mind. And you bring in that open mind. You might just take an iota of something. You might not take it all. You know, I tell people, you know, when you listen to me and I speak all over the country, put whatever's in here. Weed out the bullshit, get it out the other ear, but keep something in there that's going to live with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And it has. Things I tell people, they come up to me 5 years later. Hey, Mr. Lawton, I'll never forget that. And I'll never do that. I tell a story in my program. I have a 4-part program called the Reality Check Program.
Yeah.
And I told young people, I said, listen, I told a story about an inmate who got his anus from the top of his anus to his scrotum with a sharp object.
Yeah,
and criminal food was found. And people come to me 10 years later, right? And I'll never forget that story, and I'm never going to go to prison.
Yeah.
And I don't tell it. I don't yell at young people. Scared straight don't work. It's been proven on many fronts. I don't believe in it. I treat you young guys with as much respect as I'll treat the president or any of them. This president, forget it, but any of them. No, obviously it's the office. But my point is, I will treat you young people as much as I'm treating any person with respect, because you earned it. You respect me, I respect you. And that's how it goes. Do I think, now my own kid, when I live with me, say, wait, listen, I pay these bills. When I'm paying pay the bills, you know, I'm not going to. Obviously, so I'm very close with my kids too. I have two kids. You know that too.
Yeah.
And you know, you talked about a continuous learning curve. I think that I wanted to talk to you about why I started this podcast and all of our viewers. What Damien told me about the idea for this podcast, I looked in the mirror and I was like, where am I going to be in 20 years? Right. And I saw myself in a corporate job, not loving what I'm doing and not really making an impact on the world, you know, being who my parents were, who my grandparents were, and just what my ancestors were, just being in that kind of corporate place with a closed mind. And what I wanted to do was to just make an impact on the world. And I wanted to make sure that when I die, I have made an impact in somebody's life. And that's what the podcast, I wanted to do that. But more importantly than that, I wanted to have my kids and my grandkids and my great-great-great-grandkids live in a better world than I lived in. And that's why I wanted to start this podcast. And that's why me and Damien, we work 12 to 13 hours a day. We work, you know, we haven't slept. I think it's 24 hours because we have that kind of vision for the world and we want to make that vision a reality. But I read with your book, you know, you don't sleep much either. You know, you're a grinder, much, much more than us. And I wanted to ask you, what inspires your grind? You know, you work 12 to 15 hours, 15 to 17 hours, and more than that, even on some days. You know, I believe the sleep was overrated. I think that if you have a vision, you have to pursue it. So what vision makes you pursue your dreams?
Good question. One, very good, and I'm real proud of you. And a person once told me, and I hear it a lot, find what you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
And that is true.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're very, very, very thoughtful that was. And I love what you want to do. And I only want to add one thing. Try to do something good for somebody every day. I don't care if it's opening up a door, helping a lady with a package, I take my neighbor's garbage. She's an older woman. I take her garbage in, you know, the can when it's done, right. Little things. And I try to do something, even if it's stopping. I have the toll pass, like most people who drive. And I'll take it down and drive through the toll taker and stop for 5 seconds. Say, you know, thank you for doing what you do. You know, I hope you're having a good day. And, you know, of course, of you, I can get through this toll.
Yeah.
Give it to that man. You don't know what happened to that man that day that he was thinking of bad stuff. And maybe put a little bit of a smile on someone's face. Maybe appreciate him. There's no job that doesn't have dignity. I respect from McDonald's to anybody. That's dignity. Your work. And the guys who, even the guys who ride the signs, they carry signs. I'll sometimes, I ride by and give them a $5 bill. Mm-hmm. And what is this? I said, man, keep doing what you're doing. You're working. Whatever it is, you're working. And you're trying to feed your family, second job, one job. I don't care what it is. You're working.
Yeah.
If you have problems, which, like I said, everybody does, try to fight through them. You know, keep that hope and inspiration alive. What really kept me, I always had a great work ethic. Always had a great work ethic. And even as a mobster. But as far as like my now, you talk about work and sleep. And first of all, let me implore all young people, get your sleep. Come on. Really, you're sharper, and I don't either, and that's one of my downfalls. The other day, I tell you, I was up till 4 in the morning on a pod, on a guy's Twitch, the guy expert thief, and I go, and I do these things, and I'm up, and I said, I gotta go, it's 4 in the morning, I mean, I went to bed at 4 in the morning, and I was up at 7:45, 8 in the morning, so I really had 3 hours sleep, and you can't function at your top. It's one of my back. But what keeps me driving, it's not the success and the money. It is the accomplishment. You know, I love to see something through. I like to win. And I don't like win to hurt. I want to win, but you said make a difference. I want to help you. I get so many emails. People say, how do you do it? Well, I look at the other person. How can I do it? Now, obviously, the bigger you get, the more you get. You know, we're on a road to 1 million subscribers, and we're going to do it. PewDiePie, which you guys know, one of the biggest YouTubers.
Yeah.
He It took him 2 years to get to a million subscribers. I'm going to do it in a year.
Wow.
And obviously things change. You can't compare yourself to 105 million YouTube subscribers. But my channel, I have visions for my channel like you guys have, a little bit different than most YouTubers. My YouTube channel is going to, I look at my YouTube channel like, and it gives me that inspiration. That's why I'm answering your question, Guru. My YouTube channel, I want it to be like a network. Let's face it, network TV today is out. I mean, yeah. It's going to be gone. None of you kids probably even have TV. You have high-speed cable, and then you pick and choose what you want.
Yeah.
Most people do now, even getting to my age. I have friends that I don't have TV. I just pick and choose what I want. And obviously, it's cheaper. Why do you have a $180 cable bill when you there's 300 channels and you watch 7? So get high-speed internet. Pick and choose a package you want from one of these places. And it's, you know, guys do that to my channel. They subscribe, they do this, and they'll spend $5 on a whatever it is. I don't know, subscriptions. I don't even know that.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, they pick and choose. Young people more than anything taught me this. And I understood it. So, but I'm trying to make my channel more of diversify. If you notice, my channel is not a straight, yeah. it's gaming. It has untold stories. It has movie and TV reviews. Mm-hmm. I'm coming up with a political part of it. My podcast is going to be part of that. We're going to put it on YouTube. I'm coming up with a gay, lesbian and stuff to help the transgender, all of that. Because I want them to have a voice. And it's not about right. I believe in everything. But I want to give people a voice. So I'm trying to make a network where you can go, where Damien could go, Varun could go, or Julia, all your people there can... And say, wow, I don't like Larry. I'm not a gamer because I have, of course, people who are gamers.
Right.
But they love my movie review. Or like you did, Damien, you like the real. We're doing another one of those.
With
the
funny
stuff. The robbery fails.
Yeah.
So we're going to do stuff with my expertise. Like I have an expertise in criminal justice, in prisons, and, of course, crime. So it's going to be tilted on that area at all ways, like how would a transgender or a gay person handle prison, or and then expand on it. Like something like you're doing, you have Polititeen. You know, put Polititeen is getting other people to give voice to the teens, I'm assuming. And you guys have an audience maybe from school and stuff. And I have mega audience of young people. When I put this up, they're going to listen to it. And so I want to get keep my channel diversified, very diversified.
Yeah.
Not like most YouTubers. Most YouTubers are set.
Right.
Boom, boom. I'm trying to take it different. I'm starting a show called Prison Cooking with Larry Lawton.
Yeah, I heard about it.
So it's going to be a fun show. It's going to be stories. They're going to eat what I ate in prison. So you're going to see celebrities eat a bologna sandwich that I leave out of for 2 days.
The mystery meat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It might be sick right there, but we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're also going to educate. My basis of the channel is to educate people, but that's what keeps me driven. And it's not just the money. I made millions of dollars in my life, and I lost millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I guess. So it's, you know, and I know it's hard to tell a person who's never made a lot of money. You know, it's not about the money. Because, you know, they never had it. I had limousines, homes, horses, boats. I had all of that. And don't get me wrong. I think people should have fun. And if you make it, good for you. And you want to buy a bigger boat, good for you. That shouldn't be vilified because success shouldn't be vilified.
Yeah.
But I'm driven now because I had certain things by, one, helping people. I love getting emails and hearing, Larry, I didn't go to jail. I heard what you were doing. And I didn't get in that car with those kids with the drugs. You know, one kid, as I tell people, 4 kids in a car. If you're in a car and one of the kids got cocaine on, and all of a sudden the cop pulls over, you guys are young, and I'm sure it's happened to you already. Somebody pulls up, cop car, lights go on. What does the kid who got the drugs do? He sticks it between the seat of the car, or he puts it under the seat, tries to hide it under the mat. All of a sudden, the cop finds it. Guess what happens? Everybody in that car gets arrested, and it's called constructive possession of narcotics. Now, unless he says, officer, no, that's mine. Now, why is he going to do that? He just hit it. He don't want to get called. He hit it. So unless he actually says that, everyone's getting constructive possession of a narcotic. Now, that's a pretty good charge onto you having on your record when people look at you. Hey, wow, what do you mean? Oh, you just got out. Oh, really? Wasn't yours? You say it wasn't. It's something that obviously I can get deeper into about what I believe what should be done. But my point is, that's when you have to think, one, who your friends are and how you're going to do things. And young people, more than ever, do that. And they call me and say, Larry, I didn't get into the car. I had many call me and say, listen, they got arrested.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling. You save a kid the heartache.
Yeah. And I think it's very interesting that you bring up these points. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that we also love criminal justice and law. We actually go to a career-based school that we had to get accepted into, a high school. It's a public high school that we had to get accepted into in our county. And we both study law at this high school. And we want to go, and I want to get, you know, my PhD in law, obviously. I want to get, you know, graduate with a law degree.
You do know I got a law degree.
I did not. I wasn't aware.
I don't have a degree.
You studied law, but I had no idea.
I don't have a degree because I can't be a lawyer because I can't take the bar.
Yeah, you can't take the bar. Yeah.
Even in prison, I went. I'm a licensed paralegal right now.
Right. Oh, wow.
10 years in the law. 10 years in the law. Won many cases in court. And very good at the law. Man, I was just looking at building a new office, actually, and a studio there. And it's funny because I'm looking at some old books that I have from prison. With my number on them at all. It's just, it's a profession that I love, but it's a lot more monotonous. It's not Perry Mason.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know what
Perry Mason is. My God, I forgot. It's not I don't know what law show you'd watch. It's not law. It's a lot. I love to know it because I like to know my rights.
I think
all people should have rudimentary knowledge of the law so they know their rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, as an activist I am, I teach that. I teach people to listen, know what your rights are, what the cops can do, how they do things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can't become a police state. We can't become what other countries are. And then they tell you you're free. You're not free.
Yeah.
If you can't do certain things, you're not. Yeah. And that's all, you know, catchphrase. How you live in the freest country. What do you mean free? We have 200 countries, 197 countries in Israel now. They go up and down. And 180 are free. I mean, they have the same freedoms we have. You can go where you're going in that country. I mean, Canada, Mexico, I can go on, France, Germany, England, all are free. It's not, they're not communist. They're not communist countries. And even the communist countries have a modem of freedom. So don't say it's, oh, we're free. We have some opportunity. There's great things happening here. We're big enough, you know, I think we're the fourth largest country.
Yeah.
China, India, or maybe third. China.
It's third. I think it's third.
Yeah, third.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that and you say, so you have the opportunity and stuff, but don't just say, don't get blindsided by rhetoric. Let me tell you why I mean that. When I was in the service, I'm retired Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Right.
Christmas month. When I was out there at the sea, out at sea, we used to board Russian boats. Okay, and the Russian boats, there were a lot of alcoholics. And what a difference. I'd start to talk to the people. And we were the evil empire back. Okay, to them, they were getting so much rhetoric against us that we were the evil people, the United States. Well, we were the same way. We were getting brainwashed. Oh, Russia's the...
Yeah.
You know, it's a government, a form of government. The people are just people. They're all people. They got hearts and minds and families and souls and... Now, we have to, you got to weed through the bullshit in life and say, you know, how much are they telling us is all really true? You know, when you watch news, obviously they're slanted, but you know, if you watch Fox News today in the morning and then you watch CNN here and then you watch MSNBC, you're going to look like your head's going to blow up. You know, you have to weed through bullshit and get to the fact, whatever the facts are.
Yeah.
I say something, whatever I tell you on your show today, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You show this video to somebody.
Right.
Unless you cut it up and I could show that or whatever, something else.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm saying something, sir, and I'll stand by that. I have no problem with that. And when I hear a politician say something and then come back, you know, I didn't say that. I don't mind a politician changing his mind. In fact, I think it's good.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, 30 years ago, he said this. Oh, I hope you changed your mind because things have changed. The way of the world has changed. A lot has changed. So I hope you changed your mind. I hope you're not stupid that you were back then. So, you know, people need to change their mind. But say that, you know, like I said, if you young people can change my mind, please, I'll do it. I'm open to it. When people are open to it is when we get into problems. Then they get closed mind, and that's how you have such a divide in this country right now. We have such a political divide because I had a person tell me President Trump don't lie. And I said, are you kidding me? Show you a video of what he said literally 2 days later. Say the exact opposite. Then I go, oh, that's just, you know, because it was asked differently. No, it was exact. I showed the whole way. Well, people are just jaded and they get buffaloed and they get led. They're like sheep, I call them. They're really loud. Most people say they're like sheep. And they get guided really where to go and what to think. And, you know, they have to get out and experience a little bit of life and change the channel. Myself included. I'm definitely more of a liberal. And I don't even like the label because I'm fiscally conservative. Right. I don't believe people should just be getting free this, free that. I think you should work for it. But I have compassion. I have a heart. I don't care who you are, what your sexuality is. Nobody should judge. I don't believe. I mean, you have people. I believe in science. You have people in Congress who literally believe this world started 7,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, how many scientists have to say, you know, billions of years in the world? So how many scientists have to say that before you say, who do I believe? 5 scientists or 950 scientists?
Yeah.
You know, at what point do you know, you can't change their mind. And they're just brainwashed. Mm-hmm. So you have to just accept it for what it is. And then you get away from them because they're cuckoo. You know what I mean? If you can't, and I actually, so I'll watch, as a liberal, I'll watch Fox News. And then I'll watch them. And until I throw up, but then I there's certain shows. There's Mike Wallace on Fox News, who's very good. He's on Sunday mornings. He's got a very good show, and he'll hold people to task. He's a good person. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be whatever you want in this world. And there's parts of me, like I said, are conservative. Parts of me that are liberal. And but when it comes to judging people, which some people and I don't like gay people. I don't this. They shouldn't do it. Listen, the guy wants to go in the military and fight for me to help me. Are you kidding me? Why am I judging him?
Yeah,
absolutely.
In my mind, he wants to marry. I don't care who you marry. Oh, would you let him marry an animal? That's totally doing. Now you're telling a gay person not human? Come on.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You know, they try to muddy waters. Some people try to muddy waters with that kind of stuff. I've been with the same woman for 12 years. I was married twice. You guys don't like.
Yeah.
Right.
And then 12 years I'm with the same woman, and we have very, very open friends, open ideas, open views to help it, because she's a teacher too. She's a school teacher. And Teresa's just, she has that compassion and heart, and that's what I go to. I believe in that. I believe in young people can thrive if we give them the opportunity. Let them expand. I love that you're doing the show. My team says that they have to worry about my time. That's my thing. And they're right, because I only have so much time in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm loving life. But then I get to choose. It's my company. And I get to choose what I do. And when I saw this channel, Polititeen, it struck at me. And then I looked at it and I said, I'm doing that show. Someone goes, well, it doesn't have as many views we need. I said, I don't give a shit if it got 10 views.
Yeah.
We're going to have 10 people, but I'm going to help them put their stuff out into the ethos and see what, and try to give them a boost if I can do that.
Thank you.
That means so much.
I wish you'd do that too. You know, I hope they do. That's why I wanted this to be video, actually.
Yeah.
But go ahead, questions.
No, I was just going to say, I think that it's important to repay it forward. And if we get this platform, Varun was saying, you know, he was talking about how it's really important. And anytime anyone asks me, and people laugh, especially older people, you know, you're talking about how they don't understand the youth. They laugh when they ask Damien, what's the one thing you care about? And I say my legacy. at the end of the day. And your legacy is something that's odd because you're planting a seed in a garden that you never get to see grow, right? So you're planting a tree that you're never going to get the fruit from. So it's very odd because in a sense, why would I care about my legacy at 15, 16? But the legacy is important because it tells the story of who that person was and the good that they did. And that's really what I want. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Because I'm thinking of that girl, who I think her name was, does the activism, the young Danish.
Greta Thunberg,
What a vision. She's a visionary. She's changing something for her. She might not even see, with the climate. Her cause. And somebody who questions you, you should ask them, what's your legacy?
Yeah.
Usually they don't have one or they're embarrassed by it. I think we all have a legacy. Is it good or bad? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if I never changed my life, I would have had a bad legacy. It would have been a mistake. But obviously, the more you grow and you change, you can change. And that's where I always try to help people who are messing up at 30, 40, because they're kids to me. And I look at them and say, listen, your life's not over. I don't care if you're a drug addict at 31 or 35. You can change. I don't care if you're 50. You can change and you can become for the better. And that might only affect 10 people, but you just affected 10 people.
Yeah, 1,000%.
What's wrong with that? I always look at it, you don't know. We all don't know why we do what we do, or God. I'm not religious per se. I am spiritual. Yeah. And I'm born and raised a Catholic and then a Christian. And I've read the Bible 5 times cover to cover.
Wow.
Because the whole they gave
that's inspiration.
I've read the Quran 3 times cover to cover. I've read the Torah twice. I've read many Buddha books, spirituality books. And I read them because I was in a hole and that's all they let you, but certain places.
Right.
And obviously, I can't believe anybody can tell me the Bible's literal. It's a great way to live a life. I think it has good in it and has compassion. And that's why it blows me away when Christians will say, the death penalty. Who are you to give the death penalty?
Yeah, not to cut you off or anything, Larry, but I think that right now would be a perfect time to continue this conversation after a quick message from our sponsors.
One of my goals is to read every single religious book and to make my own decision because I don't want to be influenced by adults. I want to make my own decision and to read what's really there instead of reading what's online, the skim version. I want to read everything because that's really important to me. I think I respect you and I really, really commend you for doing that. I have a couple of points here. I'm just going to be all over the place when I talk about this. That's awesome to hear. Well, I'm going to talk about legacy. What Damien said about legacy. My parents a long time ago, I think 1 year ago, and I was talking about how, mom, I want to kind of extend my legacy beyond my life. My goal in life is to be the kind of person who inspires other people, and goes when he dies, inspires other people. And my mom was like, why do you want to do that? You have this many years on earth and you have to kind of enrich yourself, be selfish in that manner. And she's not wrong. But what happened was after that, my grandpa pulled me aside. My grandpa's been through a lot in his life, being in India, been through a lot of hardship. But what he told me was that when Alexander the Great died, he died putting all of his gold, all of his wealth, all of his money. I don't know how true this is, but this is the story he told me, under him. And he held his arms out, held his palms out, and he told all of his friends, what am I carrying with me on his deathbed? Nothing. His arms were empty and everything was under him. So I think that the most impact, the best thing you can do when you die is by inspiring people and by helping other people, because I think every person has a purpose on this earth. God puts you here for a reason. And I just want to fulfill that reason in everything that I do. And this is kind of all over the place, me talking about this, but I do want to also mention that in your book, you were talking about how companies take prisoners and they pay them 40 cents to do jobs that, the people out in the outside world, they would pay them a lot more. And it's really like exploiting the prison system. I know Damien had a lot to say about this, the private prison system and these corporations. So I'll hand it off to him.
Yeah.
But I just want to end on the point that like legacy is very important to me. And I think that everybody has to kind of take that into account when they live their lives and do what they want to do. But Damien, go ahead.
Yeah, no.
You know, before Damien starts, yeah, I want to say, don't, you're 100% right. And don't let adults, you've already framed your mind, which is so good. You're going to change things along the way, as you should, as you get more education in life and things and people you meet. But you have a good, again, that foundation of what you want to do. Don't let anybody change that. Oh, you got to do this. You might take sidesteps, and you will in life. You're going to take sidesteps, whether it's, you know, you have to, like I said, feed the family, so you take a corporate gig. But you're going to have your passions. You're going to probably be up at 12 at night doing them anyway. And you're going to find out, wow, you know what? I'm going to take the chance. I often tell people, though, you know, take that chance. You know, you guys open the podcast because for whatever visions, you just hang out, you're talking, and we can do this and this, and you did it.
Yeah.
Take the chance. No matter what, take the chance. Because
yeah.
If you can keep doing that, you're going to hit on what works. And when that works, you're going to understand. I want my success to show young people that no matter how bad it was, and mine was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You can change and you can become a success no matter what. With determination. Am I intelligent? Do I have a high IQ? Yes, all that. But it's not just that. It's that determination, that will, like you said earlier, what keeps you up going and why do you do it? You know, people go, man, you work a lot. I said, I don't work.
Yeah.
I don't work. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I'm out talking to my friends out. I'm going out to dinner tonight with doctors and friends of mine. And we'll be talking about young people and how we can change things. And it's not work. It's what I do, but it's not work. Work is an emphasis of something. Oh, I got to get up and go. Now, do I want to sleep in some days when I know I got to do an interview or whatever it is? Of course. But that makes me more determined to get going, you know, instead of. I'm not a lazy person. So go ahead. Now, go ahead, Damien.
No, 1,000%. And I think an interesting thing before I talk about the private prison system, which is absolutely.
Oh, you're going to get me on a topic that's my topic. You know?
Yeah. I was watching your video last night on private prisons, which is actually why I wanted to bring this up. But an interesting book that I'm reading right now that I highly recommend is Marcus Aurelius's Emperor's Handbook. And on the point of, you know, of the whole legacy thing, a quote that stuck with me throughout the whole book was, "A man cannot lose the past or the future. How can he be robbed of what is not his?" And so that means to live in the present, and I take that with me everywhere that I go. And I think that's important.
Damien, when you're done, I'm gonna read this just right now online so you guys can hear. This thing is behind my wall.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama, when asked what surprised him most about humanity, answered, "Man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die, and then dies having never really lived."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Wow.
That is so powerful. I read it, or I have sayings on my wall. One other is Eminem. "I don't care if you're black, white, straight, bisexual, gay, lesbian, short, tall, fat, skinny, rich, or poor. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Simple as that."
Yep.
One more for you guys. "When people undermine your dreams, predict your doom, or criticize you, remember, they're telling you their story, not yours."
Yeah, and you have that in the background of your videos. I watch your videos, and I see that you have that in the background of your videos, and I always read it from time to time when you have your face cam on. And I think that that's great.
I think you just skipped to our last question there, because really I have nothing to say now.
Yeah.
Our last question, Mr. Lawton, is usually, what is one quote, one saying that you'd say to all of our young listeners? You just gave us three of them.
Yeah.
Well, I have my own quote, and you know I have a
right.
My own quote, and it's mine, is I don't believe in bad people. I believe in bad choices.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I believe people. There's very, very few, and I've been doing this a long time. There's very, very few people, I think. I even made up a word, throwawayable.
Wow.
I've never met young people that are throwawayable.
Yeah.
You know, they've done bad things, made bad choices, done a lot of bad things, but they're not throwawayable, and they made bad choices.
Yeah.
And that's my saying. And I actually have a shirt that says that. And that's mine, and it's not up to you, but I say, well, I also have everything in your life is a reflection of a choice you have made. If you want a different result, make a different choice.
Yeah.
Like I have a few of them, and it's something it's just something you put in the back of your mind, and you'll think about. You might not be able to repeat them verbatim and all that, but you do put, like the Dalai Lama one is so true. It tells you to live in this present. Live today, but you know, there's so many things that he said that are so profound.
Yeah.
And obviously that guy is as true in a piece. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I did, you know, when I was making money as a gangster and I was an organized crime, a bad guy. My sister once said to me, she goes, "You're not happy." And I, "What do you mean? I got a boat that has me now with this man." She was so right. She was so right, because I bought a house, and I had to buy another house. Bought a car, bought more cars. Bought a boat, bought a bigger boat. Bought one horse, bought two horses. What am I searching for? You know, obviously, you can't ride two horses at the same time. You know, but I justified everything I did.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it's okay, again, to do it, but I was doing things for the wrong reason. I was truly looking for happiness.
Yeah.
And now that I'm truly happy, and what I do, and I get tired, I get cranky. Everybody has that bad day. You get on the wrong side of them, and you freaking, you know, you mess your life up for that day, and you fucking game and jack off, whatever the hell it is. You're out of it. You know, your life is out of it. And everybody gets out of sorts. It's the guys who keep getting up and getting off the mat, and they keep striving and striving and striving. Are they going to be the winners? You know, there's Lee Trevino. I'm a golfer. Lee Trevino says, you know, I can teach a person who can hit the same shot every day to be a good golfer because he's consistent. Right. So keep doing what you're doing, you know, and if it's right and the changes will come, it'll be right. You know, you're going to get down. You're going to have bad days. You're going to fight with each other. You're going to, you know, get mad at them, have disagreements, but, you know, have a pact that no matter what, you come together one time a week and you celebrate your stuff and you bury the hatchet, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's business. Really, you're going to have a business. He's going to be like, "No, Mike's right. You're like, oh, fuck you. You don't know what you're doing." It was my first, but you have a lot of shit going. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's quite all right.
Yeah.
Just understand that you guys have a vision together, and you know, that's why I tell you to have a business plan.
Yeah.
Get a business plan you both agree on. And then you sit and talk over, you know, once every month you want to change this, that, and obviously change is gonna happen. It's a fluid document. But have that, and that will stop a lot of, I thought of that, for put it in a plan, agree upon it. Then you take your intern and your girl and your producer, whoever you're going to have, and you're going to have more people. And you're going to get volunteers. I just started a fan club on Discord, as a matter of fact, and I have a bunch of young people wanting to do a lot of things. Well, Peter, my brain behind me, is he's got a whole structure. Peter built a company that he sold for $30 million. Peter's a very smart guy. So he, you know, and he was a businessman, a very, very smart guy. And sometimes it frustrates me because I'm, you know, I'm off the charts. Like Broom said, that's what I am all the time, all over the place. But creative people are.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget that. Yeah. Creative people, they need that structured part of it. And that's sometimes good to get it in there. And then there's, you know, you take great actors or you take great, what do they play? They're very creative, but they're a lot of times screwed up. And because they never had that structured person helping them out. Usually, you know, a lot of times you'll see a husband and a wife will be really the structured person and keep that person. I won't say in line, that's a bad word, but they kind of grounded. Not grounded in their ego, because everybody has to have an ego. Ego's good,
right?
But you can't let the id control the ego.
you know about psychology.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so it's healthy to have ego. You should be out there promoting and that's Politi, man. You brag about you guys because that's important. You got to keep getting it out there. You got to push who you are, and you have to believe in it 100%. Because the minute you don't, I'd recognize it. I'm telling you, I would recognize it.
Yeah.
And it can happen. It can happen. So you have to find out why. And it's, again, live the present and just go with the flow. Put the business together and you guys are great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get on prison reform, Damien.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, you were mentioning earlier in the podcast that it doesn't matter how you make your millions of dollars if you're doing something good. And, you know, it's great to want to make $1 million. And you know, hopefully we do that with the podcast. We're happy, but we help people along the way. And that's what's important. If it's one person, then, you know, it's one person, but I can say I helped one person. So one thing that always disgusts me is the private prison system. They take people at their lowest and at their worst, and they take advantage of them. And they make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars after tax deductions, after paying everyone. This is profit that they're making. These are for profit people that are using literally a slavery system to take advantage of people. And Varun agrees with me 1,000% on this. Something that me and Varun talk about off the podcast. We're disgusted with private prisons, and when we have guests that are representatives on, we talk to them during the podcast, after the podcast, and we tell them, how can we work with you? How can we give you ideas? What can we do here at Politi to get rid of these private prisons? Because this is disgusting, and it's really slave labor.
It is.
You know, talking about that, I'm one of the big advocates against it, and my voice is getting heard more and more. I can tell you the intricacies because I studied them. From GEO is a big one, and then they had CCA, Community Corporation of America, just changed their name because they were getting sued, so they did some maneuvering and changed their name to Com something else. Biggest prisons in the world. And when you said the money they make off the charts, And they're doing it off the misery of people. And I've had people on my YouTube channel say, I work for one, and hey, Larry, you're right. What they do is they cut the food, or they cut the cost of guards. So one guard's on for two sides of a prison.
Yeah.
And then when somebody can die in this side, and that guy's over here doing something. And no matter what we do in this country, we should never, ever be taking a person's liberty away and giving money for it. You know, it should be a cost for us. And obviously they say, oh, it is. It's taxes. Well, it's a corporation that has a profit margin. There's nothing in this world that should have a profit margin on a person's misery. And you guys are right. And, you know, I've been to them. I've spoken to them. And I had a very big investor once talk to me. You know, he ended up selling his stock. He sold his stock to me because you're right. And it's the wrong way to make money. And, you know, and they are, I think it's getting more and more exposure, and young guys like you coming up, and more people exposing it. The biggest issue, and you had politicians on your show, it's the money. It's obvious. It's that pocketbook that they want to get elected. You know, we have a political system, one that they all want to do. The first thing a politician does when he gets in office, first thing, is start getting ready for the reelection. And that's money. And they actually have a room in Washington where they go and they start calling big donors. And they get to know the big donors. And they start talking. And they go to dinners. And they try to do anything they want with that, but they can't. The money is too big. So until you get money, obviously, you know, Citizens United was a big blow to us today in this world.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what Citizens United was, it was a Supreme Court ruling that led unlimited corporate donorship into power. Unlimited, unlimited. You want to write a check for $100 million? Write a check for $100 million.
Yeah.
Instead of having political campaigns and have limits. And in my opinion, they should take total money out of it. They should give each qualified candidate X amount of dollars, spend it the way they want, and let's see who wins. Now you're going to watch how somebody actually manages money. So you'll actually see how they can manage their own money and how, you know, the money they have to be a politician. Until you take that big money out, it's really a money game. And sad, it's a sad thing that we take human beings and human lives who have young, I say every person in prison, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of these bleeding hearts that say that everybody gets out of prison. If you did a crime, you're going to do your time. Mm-hmm. None of them, you'll never hear in any podcast, newsroom, and I'm on news a lot, I never, ever say, oh, I didn't deserve to go to prison. I was a bad guy. Now, did I deserve to get more time than a child molester? No. But that's a whole nother thing. That's sentence reform. What's going on now, though, is I believe in, there is, listen, we need prisons for certain things. But we are so old. We have so many people in prison that don't belong in prison.
Yeah.
And we don't get the models of rehabilitation where Germany and Sweden, they're proving that they have lower crime rates, lower recidivism rates. I can get on and on. But getting back to the private prison business, the business of taking a person, you know, our justice system and prison system and cops, that's why I'm not hard on cops. We need cops. Defund, yes, people get the wrong impression when you say defund police. Mm-hmm. Defund police means stop having the military weapons and stop taking all this money and putting it in where you could take the money. How many police departments do you think have those tactical command vehicles? $1 billion vehicle. You know how many times they use it a year? Less than once, or less. It costs more to maintain it in man hours, and you never use it. Take that $1 million and put it into a youth center, or basketball courts, or young teens, or debating stuff. Whatever it is to keep young people's minds going. You guys, I guarantee you two right here, young, very intelligent young guy, your minds are a mile a minute. You're thinking of the next best thing you're doing here. You're all over the place, which is your. I am now. That's why I feel like I'm young. it's okay to do that, but we don't keep you guys occupied or have avenues to let you guys happen to be on the higher end of the intelligent level, so you figured out ways to do it instead of just gaming or whatever it is. You're actually, you know, you have a vision, a plan, and you're gonna get going. Some people don't have that. They never come from the family that can even buy a computer.
Yeah.
So you look at that, and now they come, and what are you going to do with them? Sit there, tell them to sit and twiddle those freaking thumbs? No, you know, they should have youth centers, and they should have education centers, and they should have more leagues, intramural leagues. How about the cops with the police? Let's stop this us against them mentality. That's what we have. And I blame the police for that. I blame the police, and I blame politicians for that.
Yeah,
and they all it's not. What do you mean it's not you? You don't want to get. I love the fact. I love this line with policing. Oh, we got the tank from the military. It was free. Oh, it's free. How many man hours did it take you to train on that thing? How many man hours are you taking away? Which now, of course, insurance. How much insurance did you put on that thing? How much maintenance is on that object? Yeah. It's got for free. Bullshit. It's. You know, it's the militarization of our police department.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer, and you guys don't know the show, of the old Andy Griffith guy. You know, Barney had a bullet in his pocket. He didn't even have a gun. So, you know, Andy didn't have a gun, you know, and that's what our policing should be, not where we're at today. And I'm a big advocate of good policing and good cops. And that's why the only reason I got a badge is because the police department I was offered, and I've been offered it for months, and I won't do it, was the police chief is such a good guy. He was 25, he retired, and the new guy's the same way. I said, he goes, I asked him about hiring practices. That's important. He goes, when they come into my office, Larry, I know they can shoot a gun, they can recite the bullshit from the police academy, to protect and serve. He goes, if they don't say to me, when he asks him this one question, why do you want to be a police officer in this city? If they don't say within that answer, I'm here to help this community, I want to hire them. I don't want to get to serve, arrest a bad guy. And that helping the community might mean arresting a bad guy. But he gives out award for a cop who changes a lady's flat, or for the cop who's a little league coach, or the cop that does speaking at a church, or the cop that helps with the teaching in schools or gives community lessons. He doesn't give out awards for the most DUIs, the most arrests. He goes, because if I give out awards for the most arrests, you know what happens? I'm going to have bad arrests. Yeah. They want to be the chief and they want to win the award. So that's the reason. It's about leadership in law enforcement. And when you get good leadership, it's a whole different animal. And when you get this bad, these SWAT guys and all this shit, I believe in, you know, this is, they don't like to hear this, police departments and police officers. And the chiefs, they really, I've argued with them. I believe they should hire more school resource officers as chiefs because they've learned to use their tongue to communicate with both kids, parents, and administrators. So they know how to talk situations. Those kind of guys should be more in leadership positions, not put there to retire. Those are the kind of cops that should be in leadership. No, you know who they hire for leadership? The SWAT commander. Absolutely. Or the guy, you know, the guy's the undercover king and he goes and raids all the time. Well, what does he have? He has the mentality to do that. Let's get him off the street. Let's get the bad guy. Come on, half the people are your bad guys. You know what I mean? Until the police start policing themselves, we're never going to get changed. Never.
Yeah.
Police have to police themselves. And, you know, the incident with George Floyd is great. Three cops watched another cop kill a man. Literally. And did nothing. If that was you and me, we would have been arrested that minute.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, did he fire him? Yeah, but what about firing him? I would have been in jail. You would have been in jail, and they would have sorted it out later.
Yeah.
So until the police themselves, yes, you know, use of force policies. First, it's hiring, use of force policies. A couple other things they need to do to just really, really hone down on what policing is all about. And until they do that, and you can't tell me communities of color get the same treatment as a community of a high influence white. It's not true. They are looked at differently, they're policed differently, and that's not right, you know. Give the kid the benefit of the doubt. I'm sure you guys have black friends that can tell you some stuff that happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. And you, I mean, you're pretty dark, Varun, right? Are you more darker complexion? Oh,
Varun's Indian and I'm Hispanic.
I'm Indian, yeah, and Damien's Hispanic. Yeah,
so we have our own stories for sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's sad, you know, it's... I used to tell friends of mine, look, I'm an ex-con, I'm from New York. If I was black, they'd shoot me here because it's so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I look at young people and I want them to recognize, listen, I don't hate the person. I don't hate people. I very, very, very rarely use the word hate. I think it hate. The word hate hurts you. Somebody can make you move your emotions that much that you hate, they win. I often tell people, if you piss me off enough that I hit you, yeah, I'll knock you out. But guess what? I lose because you affected my emotions where I couldn't control them. And I look at that as using the word hate. I dislike things. I really think they need to change. Hate hurts me. Hate gives me the negative feeling in me, and that only hurts me.
Yeah.
So if the person who you hate doesn't even know you hate them, they don't give a shit.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't.
But do we need change? Absolutely. And if you can do things to make a change, like you guys are doing right here, that's all you can ask. And you get the kids and expose the thing. And you're going to get, trust me, the bigger you get, I get officials to try to intimidate me now because I got a bigger and bigger platform.
Yeah,
and it's not working with me. But some people it does work with, and I feel for them. I have I'm too hard-headed, you know, I'll run through a wall. So they need, I've told police chiefs, who are you kidding? This is a true story. I sued the Federal Bureau of Prisons for masturbating. They told me I wasn't allowed. They put me in the hole in prison for masturbating. Every normal human being over whatever, your age, whatever, masturbates. It's just... It's a shift. When it was your age, it's five times a day. It's just something that is. It's a normal thing. I even had a doctor write letters saying it's, if you're over 40, it's good for your prostate. Mm-hmm. And the prison system put me in the hole for that. And I sued them. And they ended up transferring me and trying to hide me. But they changed the policy. They don't do that anymore. But it was funny because I had a sheriff come, thought he like had something on me. He goes, I know what you did. Like, what are you talking about here? I know you. masturbate in prison. I said, oh, really? Go look on my website. I wrote an article about it, you idiot. I said, I don't care what I did in life. It is what it is, and I will own it, and that's it. I don't care what it is. And I've done a lot of stuff in my life. Yeah. I said, I don't look at it like that. I look at it, listen, you can't hold something over somebody who doesn't care. I don't care what you say or what I've done. I've done, again, a lot. And I, listen, nothing to this minute will ever make somebody say, no, I can't say something because he knows something. I don't care. Yeah. That's not the way I live my life. And I think the older you get and the more power your show gets, trust me, you will have that happen. Someone will try to hold something over you. And that's when you're going to test yourself. And you're going to tell these people, oh, really? Go fuck yourself. How's that?
For real.
And let them do what they do. And you know what? The people who will stand by you will stand by you. And they will.
Absolutely.
And then if you know that, I mean, whoever it is, your partner and Damien and you guys in the room and your team will stand by. I don't care what you did. I really don't. I mean, obviously, if you're doing something illegal and criminal and stuff, you stop that. I'm not talking about sexual or whatever. You know, I respect people. I wouldn't do anything with young people. I wouldn't do anything with or hit a woman in my life. I was a bad guy. I've never in my life hit a woman. I wouldn't do that. So whatever. So just keep that in the back of your mind. You're going to get bigger. You're going to get stronger. And I mean that in the political sense, because before you know it, you start affecting votes. And once you affect votes, you affect people. And once you affect people, they go, oh, they get nervous when I start. I'm going to do a YouTube video or something because they know it's going to get hundreds of thousands of views and you're going to look like the asshole, you know?
Yeah.
And I have an action crew now, you probably saw.
Yeah.
And we already won two things. We instituted change. We got police cameras coming to a police department that didn't have them and they didn't want to get them and they came out in the paper to getting them. And I also had an investigation of a very corrupt guy here. He's still corrupt, but we're going to work on that. But I had people writing emails, writing snail mails, and flooding with us and putting posting stuff. And, you know, that pressure they hate because they don't want to. They're doing it for the wrong reasons. They need their ego stroked. They can't, you know, and they can't accept who they are and what they're doing. So they want to hide them. So make sure you just own whatever you are and whatever you do. Own it. And fuck the world.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. You're right. And what I'm saying is because I'm a strong believer that when somebody gets to a point where they're like, you know, if they're famous, they're popular, they have a popular podcast, a popular YouTube channel like yourself. What happens is, first of all, you figure out who your friends are, right? You figure out who sticks with you. And you also figure out who your enemies are because people are going to come at you and throw things at you that you can't deal with. But you got to push through that. And I think that everybody has to kind of understand that kind of mentality. And also something else I wanted to mention is that, you know, being a darker person, actually being a part of the Asian American community, I'm part of a model minority in a lot of people's minds. Now, I don't agree with that because I think that for our minority, the Asian American minority, what's happened is that all of our obstacles have been taken away. Right. We haven't had any that many obstacles for us right now. I have the same opportunities as a lot of people right now. But with my Hispanic peers, my African-American peers, they haven't had the same amount of privilege as me, right? I think that Asian-Americans is basically what I want to see African-Americans and Hispanic people achieve in terms of quality, in terms of obstacles being removed in the next couple of 10 to 20 years. So I think that's the goal for our nation going forward.
That happened with everybody, the Italian when they came over here in the turn of the century and the Irish when they came over here. They were all had those same obstacles. And you're right, they were taken down. And what has happened is sadly, Hispanic and African American have not. And that's just prejudice. That's straight prejudice. And until we get more people to I do have hope though. Let me go this way. Because I'm seeing young people like you guys. I'm seeing young people coming out and being open about it and being talking about it. You know, it's sad. It really is sad that the president, we have a president that pushes hate, pushes negativity, pushes, I mean, even in the ads he's doing on TV at this moment, it's not positive. What I'm going to do anything. It's negative. You know, Biden wants to take the police away. He has old ladies dying on the floor, cops not being called for it. And it's all bullshit, and I understand politics, but there's some people who believe that. And we need leaders. And when I say leaders, it just doesn't mean political. It means you guys, young people who will have a channel and will have a say, whether it's in your school. I don't know, you guys, you said you go to the same school. Yeah. And I hope people, you know, you have a whole network and you can get email lists and everything else and get the guests and hope you get the people and they see who you are. And you're gonna get kids your own age. Fuck you, that I think like you're gonna get that now at young ages.
Yeah.
Stick to who you are. Listen, I've been in more fights than I can count. Physical. I'm a pretty tough guy, but I've lost my share too. So what? Punch in the face doesn't, you know, let me kill you. And you know what? It's gonna happen. Let's call life. I hope it never happens to you, obviously. But those words, you know, stick to who you are. You'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
It's not about who wins. I tell people to this day, you know, if you push my button, I lose. So my control is what makes me win. And that's what you guys got to do. Stick to who you are. Stick to your podcast. Stick to opening people's eyes. You will get your following. You will get your support. And that means a lot because there are people who are going to start getting up to you and contact you and say, I needed that today. You helped me a lot. I get that on YouTube. I get thousands of comments. Wow. And it's a good feeling to know that you helped somebody get through a day. And it'll happen. And it could happen small. It takes time.
Yeah.
Keep that drive. Keep that going. Keep it. And believe in who you are and fuck the rest.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to end, you know, the podcast has been almost, hard to believe it, but an hour and 15 minutes. It's been a while since we first started talking. So I'm going to let you get on with your day. But I'm going to end. Yeah.
You know, I had no idea. If I would have saw that, I am done. I got to get out of here.
All right. So I'm going to let Damien finish up the podcast. But before I do, I'm just going to say one thing. First of all, thank you so much for joining this podcast, you know, working with us. We really, really, really appreciate it. You know, with your schedule, it's obviously very hard for you to do stuff like this. So we really do appreciate it. But I'm going to end it, you know, tell our viewers one thing about Larry. I'm going to end on one of his quotes. What's sad is that some people get a badge of authority and lose the compassion they need to do a good job. You talked about this earlier, Larry, the fact that a person gets a badge of authority and loses their moral compass. And I think that we have to recognize that with our police officers. You know, we have to select good people for the job, people who have that moral capacity and want to do their job and want to, you know, help their communities as much as possible. And we need that in today's society with police brutality. But with that said, first of all, I'm going to just say thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to hand it off to Damien to end the podcast formally.
Yeah, like Varun was saying, thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us. You really enlightened us and you gave us a perspective that's unique. And that's, you know, that's what we try to strive to do here on the podcast, get every individual's unique perspective, because it's really their story that shapes them into the person that they are. And once we understand that story, we can understand their values and understand and appreciate the conversations that we have with them a lot more. And with that being said, you know, I hope that we can continue this discussion sometime in the near future and we can have you back on the podcast. Hopefully we're a little bit bigger by then and we can have a conversation beyond everything that we talked about today. It really was an insightful conversation, and I think our viewers really enjoy that. But you know, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is thank you guys. You inspire me, and you keep my faith in the youth going. I love young people who have that drive, that vision, and that energy to keep going and not quit. And you guys seem that way. And I want you to keep doing that. And you guys, I want to thank you. You guys are smart young men. You guys got your heads on your shoulders. You got good, like you said, moral compass, a very good word. And and people can look at that word moral and say, oh, that's not moral. No, morals is what's right.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with, like I said, judgment is not in the moral.
Right.
You don't judge people. So I don't want people to go, he's not moral, and you know, because he did this or that. Keep that in the back of your mind. Don't be judgmental. Understand everybody has a story. And until you walk a mile in their shoes, you have no idea what they've gone through and what's going on in their life. That's why I think when you judge. And I want to thank you guys. And if you need any advice, you need any, you know how to get a hold of me. You guys have my email. Please drop me an email, and I'll be sending you my cell, and you can text me now and then if you want, and then we can touch base. And if you need anything, I'm here. Thank you. Have a great day, guys. You've been a real good young man, and I look forward to helping you and getting this out and having my audience comment on this.
Yeah, definitely. I'll definitely, we wanted to, we'll discuss with you some of our future plans and see how we can help each other. And we'll definitely come back to you with that business model. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to check out our Twitter at Politatine Show, if I'm not mistaken, Bruin, and our website at politatinepodcast.com. Once again, we want to thank Larry for coming on. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you did enjoy the episode, and be sure to stay tuned for future podcasts, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Everyone, thank you so much for watching today's episode of the Politatine Podcast. As always, we appreciate and thank you for your support over these past couple of weeks as we've grown as a podcast and as a duo between myself and Damien. And please follow us on Twitter at Politatine Show. And always, as always, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Politatine Show, and to connect with us via email at politatinepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to check out our newly hosted website at politatinepodcast.com. And lastly, please consider becoming a sponsor, a donor for our campaign on Patreon. You can get a link to that through our website at www.politatinepodcast.com. And through becoming a sponsor, you can get some amazing exclusive perks, such as a way to contact us for questions, suggestions, becoming part of our exclusive community where you can kind of talk about your political viewpoints and ask questions of our guests as they come on. You know, live streams of us talking, and even posters, stickers to rep Politatine. So as always, have a great rest of your day, and thank you so much for your support over these past couple of weeks. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much.